Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
You know, I receive emails from people constantly, and it's a wonderful thing. Most of the emails that I get are telling me about their personal journeys, their personal successes. The ones that are always the most touching are the ones where people have really overcome great adversity, great challenges, and stuck to their guns. You know, deep down inside, they knew they were doing the right thing. And as time goes on, they found out that they were correct in their assumptions. And quite often in the face of discouraging advice from doctors and well-meaning clinicians and so on and so forth. And so I decided that I was going to start doing a series every so often as the guest presents themselves. We're going to talk about a person's personal journey, because I know there's a lot of people out there who are dealing with their own challenges, and sometimes it's really easy to get overwhelmed. And so in the hope of motivating more people to stick to their guns and make it their personal journey, really take control and charge of their health and their lives, we're going to start showcasing people on the show. This series is going to be called the Save Your Own Life series. And today's guest, my first guest on our maiden voyage, is a fellow named Kevin Johnson. How you doing, Kevin?
Pretty good. How you doing, Carl?
Great, great. Now, I first have to say that Kevin did not write to me about this. I've asked people in the past, if you have an interesting story to tell, get in touch with me. I'm telling you again, email me at onair@superhumanradio.com. But actually, it was Kevin's girlfriend, Karen. I'm sorry, wife. I keep saying girlfriend. I'm sorry. You guys look so young to me. It's hard for me to believe that anybody, you know, is even married in this day and age. But anyway, your wife, Karen, really emailed me and told me this story about your journey. And I thought, I've got to have you on the show. And I know that you're very modest and you were hesitant to come on the show initially. But I persuaded you to come and tell your story because I think a lot of people out there will get a lot out of it. So first of all, I want to commend Karen for reaching out to me. And I hope that other people, after they hear this interview, if you have a personal journey that you believe was is something that we can all benefit from hearing your story, I don't care how insignificant you think it is, I want you to email me at onair@superhumanradio.com. Kevin, your journey starts when you were a very, very young boy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was diagnosed actually with ankylosing spondylitis officially in 2007. But I'd always had problems with, you know, my legs and things, and ever since I was young. Probably started around I was about 8 years old, and before that time I really didn't really notice it much, but I did start getting pains in my legs and things, and I would tell my mom, and you know, she'd be like, you know, this is just growing pains or whatnot, because she had, you know, no idea of anything more than that it could be.
Right.
And so as time went on, I kept telling her, you know, like, I'm really hurting, you know, my legs really hurt a lot, and you know, I can't really move like the other kids, and I can't, you know, run.
Now, was this pain like muscle pain? Was it deeper in the bone kind of pain?
It was deeper in the bone. It literally felt like pounding, like inflammation in my legs.
Right.
You know, and it felt like it just wouldn't. It was definitely in the bone, but I just couldn't, you know, get my legs to move like I wanted to. There was just this, you know, incessant pounding and inflammation in my legs.
Were you restricted from playing sports as a young man as a result of that?
I couldn't, you know, I couldn't play sports. Not like I wanted to, because the teachers and the coaches knew I was much weaker than the other students. So
right.
It was like, you know, even if I wanted to, it was one of those, you know, everybody playing basketball and you know, there's I'm the last guy being picked, or the guy not being picked at all.
Right.
You know what I mean? One of those type things. So it was extremely, extremely rough.
Now, when were you actually diagnosed with, and it's pronounced, help me here, ankylosing spondylitis?
Yeah. Ankylosing spondylitis. Yeah, I was diagnosed in 2007 with that.
Now, for those people who don't even know what this is, what is ankylosing spondylitis?
basically what it is an autoimmune disorder where my immune system, it begins attacking my joints because the immune system begins to see them as foreign, I guess, and eventually the joints in the spine, which is why it's the spondylitis part, they eventually will fuse. And so, but associated with that is ankylosing spondylitis is really an umbrella under rheumatoid arthritis.
I was just going to say, it sounds like RA to me.
Yeah, because rheumatoid arthritis can present itself in different people in different ways. You know, some folks in their hands, others, you know, maybe in their ankle or whatnot, but it's all, you know, that inflammation. But mine in particular, it's right, you know, in my spine and lower back area, and that's, you know, kind of my particular.
And whenever I hear stories about autoimmune diseases, the medical orthodoxy, and because of the literature out there, when they talk about autoimmune disease, they talk about like some irreversible phenomenon that your body doesn't like itself and it's attacking this or it's attacking that.
Right.
And we almost feel like, oh my God, you know, my body becomes my enemy. And whenever I hear about them, those types of diseases, anytime somebody says, you know, autoimmune disease, I immediately start thinking about nutrition.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had no idea. I was just like you. I mean, when you hear something, because what we grew up, you know, once something's wrong with you, you go to the doctor and you take a pill. I mean, my cabinet was stocked full of pills and things. And, you know, as I grew up, just taking all different types of medication for it. And because it was just, these are the cards you're dealt. And this is kind of, these are the medications you have to take to deal with those cards.
Well, plus also, you go to your doctor because he's the specialist in this area. He's spent all the time learning about these things. And you say, okay, what do I do? And he says, you take these pills.
Right.
And you know,
put you on this and see how that does.
And so, and you know, how, and that's why, like, I've been saying a couple shows now, I've been saying, you know, if you're not going to challenge your doctor, if you don't feel comfortable challenging your doctor, some of us do, some of us don't, then at least start asking a follow-up question, why? Mm-hmm. Anytime your doctor says, this is what we're going to do, I would always say, well, why? And explain to me why we're doing that. But I just want more people to pay attention to the fact that you can say that to your doctor. You can say, why? Why are we taking this approach? Are there any other approaches out there, or is this it? Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, so your doctor said, here's what you got, and here's the cards you dealt, and here's how we treat this.
Right.
And what? How do they treat it, just out of curiosity?
Well, what they did, I mean, before they didn't even, you know, it took so long for them to even know that it was actually ankylosing. Because it was, I just diagnosed in 2007, but I 2007 was 3 years ago when I was 22, and I had this problem since I was 8. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So in the beginning, there was, I mean, I had a panel of doctors once. I mean, 5 or 6 doctors at Children's Hospital here, you know, in Cincinnati, that were looking at me, and they didn't know, they couldn't tell, me what it was. They're like, well, it looks like it's some, you know, arthritis sort of, but we don't really know what it is.
Did they actually see the inflammation in joints when they would x-ray you? They would see that, you know, you'd have this, the same type like as RA people have?
I don't know if they saw it in the joints. Like I said, I was so young that I never got any of the test results.
Right,
you know, never knew. I was just, you know, more or less along for the ride of what do I take next until it's over. You know what I mean? And so there is one doctor who eventually did diagnose it, I guess, more. It was they classified it as juvenile arthritis, and then they moved it to rheumatoid.
Yeah, and so you were taking a lot of the traditional RA medications?
Yeah, I've taken Celebrex, methotrexate, Vioxx before they pulled it off, Remicade, Enbrel.
Methotrexone I've heard good things about, but you take very, very low doses of that.
And none of those did anything for me. The reason why I was hopping from one to another is they didn't do anything. You know, I've taken Naprosyn and ibuprofen, but once you're on those too long, they gave me stomach, you know, problems.
Man, not only stomach problems, but now we know that even healthy adults increase their risk of heart attack by taking NSAIDs of any kind.
Yeah, and so once I started hearing all that stuff, it's just like, you know, what, you know, for me it was like I take something and then 3-4 months later, oh, you can't take that anymore because of this.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, and it's just a constant frustration, constant.
How many medications were you on at the peak of your pharmacological approach?
Probably about 5 or 6.
At one time?
Yeah.
And God knows what that's doing to your liver and kidneys. Never mind, you know, I mean, that's an aside, that it's destroying your liver and kidneys probably.
Yeah, well, I've got some proof of the damage a lot of those medicines have done in my liver.
Really?
Yeah. My enzymes are elevated. liver enzymes are elevated.
Still till today, they're still elevated?
They're still elevated till today. Cause like I said, I was on Remicade at one point, which is an immunosuppressant, and that really pushed my liver enzymes up, I guess, because of whatever it was doing. That definitely did. And I do work out, and I know that, you know, could help, could kind of hurt it, but I definitely see some the test from my liver.
Yeah, no, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to learn more about Kevin's journey. And I think that you'll be inspired to hear this story. It's really a great story. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody, Primordial Performance is having their annual summer sale. Everything is up to 40% off at primordialperformance.com, so check them out. My guest today is Kevin Johnson. We're talking about his journey coping with and overcoming in the face of disease and winning. That's the exciting part. Okay, so we understand you're on a lot of medications. When did you have an epiphany and think, you know what? These doctors aren't doing what I need them to do. I believe there's another way.
Well, I've always been a person who's tried to look deeper than what's like right in front of me, you know, to see what's really going on. And I've always researched working out and things after I kind of lost weight about a few years ago through just, you know, changing my diet to a lower carb diet and being that being able to change my diet and lose weight really told me that I need to kind of start searching in other areas.
Did you notice changes, physiological changes, aside from your weight? Did you start to notice changes in the way your body responded to the disease when you changed your diet?
I noticed that I was a lot more aware of what things cause the inflammation once I started changing my diet and eating and not eating.
So you saw immediate responses to the changes in nutrition?
Yeah, I did. When I would eat things that had, you know, way too, that were like had wheat and that sort of thing in them, I would definitely notice that the next day my legs would be hurting or I had that same inflammation pain that I used to have. And I would really notice that because for a while I did the lower carb, like I do low carb for like, you know, 3 or 4 days, and then I'd carb up. And then right after I carb up was when I would have my legs would start hurting. But those 3 or 4 days that I wasn't eating like that, I didn't feel anything.
Interesting.
You know, so once, but the day that I would try to, you know, carb up was the time my legs would start hurting again. And so I was like, okay, there's got to be something to this. So I started doing research on the internet and plain as day started finding out that gluten and those sort of things could affect people with rheumatoid arthritis. And I saw that and I was like, you know, for the first time, I was like,
what's really funny? You said something, but it's actually, when you said it, I was like, no. It's, you said that gluten can affect people with rheumatoid arthritis. And I would take it a step further and say that gluten is the reason for the season.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's like we've talked about lectins and their ability to cause inflammation. Mm-hmm. And we've also talked about the different propensities to be allergic to certain lectins because your ancestors didn't evolve eating those foods.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would challenge and say that the people who are suffering from rheumatoid arthritis are suffering from it because of the diet that they're on. And it's not that the diet exacerbates it. I think that they, you know, I just had this conversation with somebody this morning. 2.5-3 years ago, I was telling people that diseases like Parkinson's disease and multiple sclerosis and Alzheimer's eventually would be attributed to the brain being insulin resistant.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that people have is they look at their body like a monolith. They think, mm-hmm. well, if I'm not diabetic, my brain can't be diabetic. But that's not the case. You have to look at your body the way you would look at a lawn. You ever have a lawn that had a big yellow spot right in the middle? It got all the same sun and nutrition and watering that the rest of the lawn did, but it didn't, for some reason, ever change to green. It was always dead.
Mm-hmm.
The body's the same way. You can have an area of your body that is prone to something when the rest of the body is not. And so this idea that people who have that certain things exacerbate these diseases, I would say no. They are the cause of the disease. These people have some unique thing going on in their joints that these lectins are causing inflammation.
More and more recently, that's what I've been really understanding from, you know, listening to your show, is that a lot of us are born a certain way, and once we take in certain foods that we weren't supposed to eat or whatnot, then it triggers it.
Bingo.
You know, I kind of tell people the analogy I use is like kind of like a volcano. Like in a science experiment, you'll have the volcano, you'll have the vinegar, and you'll have the baking soda. Well, you need the baking soda is the catalyst to make it erupt. But if you never add the baking soda, the volcano's never going to erupt.
Right.
You know, so the gluten and all those sort of things that I started taking in when I was younger brought out what, you know, my genetics already what was may have been there. It basically reacted with it and caused, you know, a morphing of what should have been there and caused the eruption of the arthritis that I have.
Right. And now you live in Cincinnati, right?
Uh-huh.
And I would have to say that Cincinnati, being part of that enclave of a little bit of the South, but it's really a little bit of Midwest as well. You know, Ohio's kind of a unique place. It's mm-hmm. very, very centrally located. But there is a propensity there, like there is in the South, for comfort foods.
Mm-hmm.
And comfort foods are always laden with sugars. Like, one of my favorite places in Cincinnati is Montgomery Inn for ribs.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Bob Hope used to have those ribs flown to Hollywood for parties. They're so mm-hmm. good. And they're just slathered in greasy, sweet juices that are just unbelievable. When I used to eat that stuff, I had to go to sleep an hour after that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. You know, that food is just taking such a big toll on your body. But okay, once in a while you do it. But in a case like you, you started to discover, wow, some foods make me sick.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody attributes things making them sick to something else unrelated to food at all. You know, there's it's always something else, or they're just not feeling good today. And it's like, you know, a friend of mine, he had asthma, and he said, you know, one day he had a huge flare-up. He didn't know why. I asked him, I said, well, what did you eat 3 hours before that? And he told me something that had, you know, wheat in it or whatnot. I'm like, well, you need to look into that, because asthma is related to inflammation, and, you know, gluten and wheat does that. He's like, you know what, you're right. Every time I eat such and such a thing, you know, a few hours later, I have to take my inhaler. You know, and it's the same thing with the foods that you were, because I grew up on, you know, all the wrong type foods, not necessarily because that's what my family wanted me to eat in the sense that we want you to get sick, but it's just you don't know, you know.
Right.
You grow up with what's around you. You grow up on, you know, Fruit Loops and Toucan Sam and Pops and, you know.
And don't forget, we're being told that that stuff's okay. Let's go back. Years ago, we were being told that stuff's okay. Today, we're being told it's not okay, but the government hasn't stepped up and changed their food pyramid yet.
Right, or the manufacturers just put 3 grams of fiber in it and they call it healthy.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. It really is. And you know what? It's amazing to me, because the truth of the matter is the world could be completely healthy if we just changed the way we eat. But very few people believe that. Very few people really believe that food is medicine.
From what I found, you know, I found that you almost, so some people, it takes a catalyst. Like, it takes it takes something huge for them to turn around. And for
yeah,
me,
like illness.
Yeah, like exactly. And because most people, they don't have the outward illness, they don't do anything to change. It's like, oh, I'm fine now. You know, then 10, 20 years later, oh, they got, you know, some kind of disease, diabetes or you know, cancer or something like that. And it was like, well, everything was leading up to it. For me, it's like immediate. You know, for me, the response is immediate.
So now let's talk about the responses. So now you've changed your diet. You probably eat more ketogenic, eat high protein, high fat.
Very, yeah.
And what kind of carbs do you eat? Vegetables and stuff?
Mainly vegetables. Mainly vegetables.
No potatoes, no rice, no corn.
No potatoes, no rice. I don't even know the last time I had corn.
And stay away from that, because it's all GMO. We don't even know what the repercussions. You know what? Not until you and Karen have children. I mean, well, not you guys particularly, but your generation starts having children, will we know the real effects of GMO?
Mm-hmm. So my diet is very high in fish fat. I eat sardines. I eat salmon.
I love sardines.
I love them, too. And you know what's interesting? If, let's say, because sometimes, depending on the weather, I may feel a little bit of stiffness in my legs, but if I eat sardines, roughly 20 minutes later, I don't feel anything.
So you need to look at what sardines are high in. I know they're high in magnesium, I know.
Yeah, and the omega-3s.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and I have an omega-3 supplement that I take, too. And you know, my diet is very high in you know, those type things. And from listening to even the shows about, you know, Nutrigenomics show that the person from Life Extensions did, I started taking a lot of those things, like the black tea.
Right.
And I don't feel any pain in my legs at all.
So now you're actually, Karen tells me you go to the gym regularly now, you're training,
yeah.
you're doing things that you didn't do before, right?
Yeah. I'm in the gym probably about four times a week, and able to keep up in the gym. What's really helped me the most is that because I don't have as much inflammation in my, I don't have inflammation in my legs at all, I'm able to really work out my legs and get them stronger. Because when you have the inflammation going on in your legs all the time, they don't want to move, there's no way you're going to be able to go into the gym and
train,
you know, leg press or squat or anything like that when you've got inflammation pounding in your legs the whole time.
Right.
So
right.
My legs have gotten considerably stronger. And it's
and
just,
that has an effect on the disease. Because, you know, when you think about the mass of the legs that are being compromised, well, if you make the legs bigger, then the compromising is a smaller percentage of the overall muscle. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
So the stronger you get, that's going to also have an effect on attenuating the pain and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, your diet, you now are getting dialed in, and stay with the fish oils, because, I mean, I literally drink Carlson's fish oil out of the bottle 2 to 3 times a day. I probably have 3 to 4 ounces of it a day.
Wow.
And I know, well, I'm an extremist. I do everything to an extreme. But you know what? Now, and then I've been doing that for a while. And then when Dr. Michael Smith pointed out that there's recent research that shows that omega-3 fatty acids from fish oils may actually shut inflammation off on a genetic level.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's really exciting stuff right there. But you know, you're dialed into your diet now. You're able to train. Your life has changed. Would you say your life has changed?
I think it's changed completely. People who knew me when I was younger cannot believe the way I am now. I mean, I've lost weight. I don't walk with a limp at all. Just from our wedding video, just in the video that me and Karen had when we got married, you can visibly see how bad I was limping. I mean, I couldn't fully pick up my legs as I was walking. It was more of a, like my hips just didn't, there wasn't enough strength in them.
And, so know, almost like a shuffle.
Almost like a shuffle. Like I was swinging my legs, you know, around, pulling them forward versus physically picking them up and walking.
Right.
And you can see it. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, I'm limping really, really bad in the video, and I'm not at all now. You know, and it's literally night and day. And not having to be, you know, not having to be reliant on medication, you know, for the rest of your life, knowing there's natural things you can take.
Just imagine the wear and tear on your liver that you're going to avoid now, and your liver will get healthy because the liver regenerates. It's like a starfish.
Right.
So your liver will, have you been to your doctor since you've changed the way you eat?
I have.
Has he said anything to you?
When I told them what it was that I did, they looked at me like, what? You know, like I said, well, you know, they said, what have you been doing? Like, you know, what medicine have you been taking or whatnot? And I was like, well, I haven't been taking anything. I just changed my diet and cut out gluten and that sort of thing. And they looked at me like they had never heard that before. You know,
did they challenge you? Did your doctor say, look, you got to stay on these medications? It's the only thing we have for you. Did he say any of that sort of stuff to you?
More or less, he said that, you know, I really think that these medications are probably going to be the better way to go.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't put any faith at all in the fact that it could be diet related.
Yeah.
And so when I tell people, when I told him, I said, you know, what about, you know, the gluten, that sort of thing? I've heard that kind of helps. And they're kind of like, they give that reaction as though literally never heard of something.
You know, it's funny when you said that, I was thinking of that movie. Remember the movie they played around Christmas time, The Robe, about Jesus?
Yeah, yeah.
And when they nailed Jesus to the cross and he looks down and he says, Father, forgive them because they know not what,
not
they,
what
do.
They do.
Well, my first impression is to be angry with doctors.
Uh-huh.
But then I realize, like a six-year-old child looking at you saying, I hate you for not taking me to the carnival today. You got to look at them and realize where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to forgive your doctor because they don't realize what they're doing. They don't realize that medicine is the answer. I mean, I'm sorry. Food is the medicine. Food is the medicine. And food is the answer. And it's not pharmaceutical drugs. But they just didn't get it yet. And they will someday. Someday they will get it. And things will change. When we come back, I want to talk about this specifically.
Okay.
I want to talk about the resistance that you receive, not just from the doctors, but I want to talk about family support and so on, okay?
Okay.
All right, so stay tuned. We're talking today with Kevin Johnson about his personal journey back to health. And guess what? Nutrition was the answer. Could you imagine? Hard to believe. We'll be right back. You're a young man, hot man, shouting in the street. You're gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Showtime. Just wanted to mention OrbitNutrition.com has established a sample of Attack, a new pre-workout supplement that has no stimulants in it. You can go to SuperhumanRadio.com and get a free trial sample of Attack. I believe that is a 3 or 4 serving sample, so you can use it a few days and see if you like it. If you decide to buy it, you can buy it at OrbitNutrition.com. And get an additional 10% off their already low, low price by using the coupon code SHR10. That's SHR10. Visit orbitnutrition.com. Okay, so we're back with Kevin Johnson, and we also have his lovely wife, Karen, on the phone. How you doing, Karen?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. And you were kind enough to even start this whole ball rolling by writing me a letter.
Right.
And so, Kevin, before we start actually bringing Karen in, it's been my experience, because when I was unhealthy, very overweight, back in 1997, 98, I recognized that once I got locked onto this journey of health, family members, well-meaning as they may be, can actually become deterrents to your journey. Did you notice that at all?
Well, yeah, it's to a certain extent, you know, in the beginning, everyone.
You know what? You know what, Kevin? I just realized something. Karen is in the room with you, isn't she?
Yeah.
Okay, we're getting feedback on the cell phone now, an echo. Can she just, is it possible for her just to step away from you or into a corridor for a minute? Sorry to do this to you.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, because otherwise it's going to be very difficult and distracting for people. So we were talking about, did you notice that people were kind of afraid that you were taking this journey?
I think initially at first, you know, everyone is, at first, people didn't really know about the journey I was taking until they really started seeing me lose weight. You know, at first, like, oh, it's, you know, great you're losing weight and that sort of thing. And, you know, but once you start on the journey of trying to eat right and once you start learning more about what's really in our food and about what affects you personally and realizing you have to change almost everything.
But what about when you would go to family functions and people would be serving up food and you'd be like, no, I'm not going to have any of that. And then would people say something to you like, come on, Kevin, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, they would ask, they would be like, you're some kind of health nut or whatnot.
Yeah, I know, health nut. I love that one.
Yeah, I mean,
I had a girl in Los Angeles accuse me of being a food nut because I wouldn't eat this or wouldn't eat that. So.
Yeah, so I'm sitting around, I've got my, you know, plate of green beans and grilled chicken and that sort of thing, and everybody else is down in cornbread and you know, sweet potato pie and all this stuff, and I'm, you know, passing on it, not because I'm, you know, some kind of, you know, super into health, which I think everyone should be since it's the only body you have, but, you know, it's I knew for me that wasn't going to work, but people just kind of brushed it off almost like, well, you know, he's just one of those guys.
You're a zealot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like just way too, yeah. like too over into that sort of thing.
Right.
Just like, I feel great.
And unfortunately, family members don't realize, they don't mean to deter you and derail you, but they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're afraid of it too, because they realize that if you really have success with this, then they have to pay attention and start caring for their own diseases and illnesses the same way. Karen, mm-hmm. I want to talk to you now because you have a really unique perspective. You grew up on a farm, right?
It's more like a ranch.
Okay, a ranch. I'm sorry. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you were raised with raw milk and pastured chicken eggs and all that sort of stuff, right?
That's right.
And your health as a young child?
I was a healthy kid. I never really had a problem with weight at all. It was not a different thing or weird to have a chicken in your backyard.
Right.
You know, or have, you know, different, you know, trees and, you know, like, you know, lime trees in the back. And my entire family, all my relatives had cattle. So for us, even if we had a party or, you know, just your meat for the week, we just, all we did was just kill a cow.
Yeah, process a cow. Right. Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And you said something in the email to me that I really picked up on that I never realized until I learned about Weston A. Price, who, by the way, was also from Cincinnati. You said, you know, that you grew up very healthy, never had a weight problem, and everyone had straight teeth. And straight teeth actually is a sign of the effects on generations of eating right. When generations eat right, their offspring tend to all look similar, and they have really straight teeth.
Right.
And you picked up on that.
Yeah, my entire family, you know, our diet really consisted on, like what I said, you know, raw milk and, you know, meats, a lot of protein, a lot of chicken. And, you know, we never really had sugar. The only sugar that, you know, people in Mexico really drink a lot is, you know, soda, you know, especially Coke. But that was really not given to us when we were kids. So I have three brothers, and we don't have a problem with our teeth. All of our teeth are straight. We had never even been to a dentist until we came to the States, really.
Right. Now let's talk about that. So here you are thriving as an organism on this great food, this wonderful lifestyle, and then you come to the States.
Right.
The land of good things. And what happens to you?
Right. Right. Well, I moved to Texas when I was 8. And Texas is very similar to Mexico. I mean, you have good sources of your, you know, your grass-fed beef and your farms around.
Yeah, it's big agriculture.
Right. It was not really until I moved to Ohio where, you know, I started working. I started eating Chinese food every day and, you know, taking my trips to, you know, McDonald's and Wendy's. And, you know, where I was from in, you know, Texas, there was one McDonald's in the city. And, you know, we've never been there before, but it was not until I moved here that I started my diet changed, you know, a lot. And it was when I started developing different symptoms for depression, chronic fatigue, and I started getting sick more often. I started getting cold several times a year. So things definitely did change a lot.
Yes, yes. But I have to ask you, have you had ribs from the Montgomery Inn yet?
Actually, no. We've been married for about 3.5 years, and I have not been there. I definitely have been to, we've discussed the Skyline Chili and the Gold Star, but I just, you know, now I just cannot get myself to even drive through the places. I just, you know, just knowing where everything comes from, it's just not possible.
No, and I agree with you. I'm just joking around with you. But if you do have a day where you're going to go off and you're going to go, you know what, I'm going to get intoxicated on food and be hungover tomorrow, going to the Montgomery Inn and having ribs is the way to do it, just between you and I. But anyway, okay. So, and I got to thank my ex-wife for that, by the way, because she's the one who turned me on to that. Anyway, okay, so you started putting on weight, you started developing these symptoms, and now, and around this time, Kevin starts to have his revelation, like, wow, my diet affects my health. So you two kind of got together and said, okay, let's do this together, right?
Well, I have to say that I really was not jumping on that wagon right away. I really didn't think that. For some reason, I just thought, you know, maybe I've just been depressed, something happened. You know, I've just been under a lot of stress. I thought that's why I was gaining weight and I was having skin problems and I was having all these issues. But I really didn't make that connection between what I was eating. And I just thought I was eating more. I didn't think it was necessarily bad. I just thought it was, you know, portion size was a lot bigger. So after we got married, we both started picking up weight.
Big time.
It was not until, you know, he started losing weight. I still didn't quite, because at first he was just, you know, when he started dieting and working out, at first it was just to, you know, get in shape and, you know, lose some weight. He didn't realize about, you know, the whole connection between his illness and food until, you know, about a year later.
Right.
Or about a couple months later.
Right.
But it was not until this year that I've accepted and I've seen the differences in his health that I, you know, I see the connection.
And as a matter of fact, you put something very touching in the email, and I hope that you don't get mad at me for saying this, but you said that you used to cry because you used to worry about him and his health.
All the time.
And now you don't worry about that anymore.
No, not at all. I was obsessed because every single time that, you know, where I grew up, you know, even if you had a cold, what you would do is you would take some tea, you know, or take some, you know, just natural cures.
Right.
When he had a cold, all he would do would just, you know, down NyQuil or DayQuil, and just that was it, you know.
Yeah.
For every single thing he had, he always had to take a medicine. And it was just normal in his family to just do that. But, you know, that's not how I grew up.
But, I mean, you were worried that his disease was going to overtake him someday. Right?
My grandmother had taken a lot of medications, and it affected her liver. And
right.
She died of cirrhosis in the liver.
Right.
And I thought that all these medications that he was taking were eventually going to take a toll in his health.
Right.
And, you know, they actually did. But I thought, you know, he's so young and, you know.
Yeah, he's robust. Wondered, he can bounce back from it if he has to. But.
Sometimes I thought that. But then I thought, you know, after so many years, how is he, you know, how is his health going to be when he's 40?
Yes.
You know, how deteriorated is he going to be after taking these medications for so long? And it was not, you know, a couple milligrams of, you know, a certain medication. He was taking a lot. You know, when he was taking Remicade, we had to sit through a 2-hour infusion of Remicade.
Right.
So I thought eventually this has to do something. So I worried about that a lot.
You know what? A lot of elderly people die from the side effects of polypharmacy, and that's taking more than one medication, usually taking 3 or 4 or more medications. Quite often, they don't succumb to the disease they're being treated for. They succumb to the damage to the renal and hepatic system,
yeah,
that having those drugs have to be filtered out of their body day in and day out, and the toxicity that it causes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you were very right to be concerned, and mm-hmm. as you said, now you're not concerned anymore because he is. You see the vibrant life that's coming back to him now.
Right, and it's not just that. I mean, since day one, like he said, you know, in our wedding video, you could see him limping, you know, and he was in a lot of pain. He's been through, you know, a lot. And the first year we were married, we've had, you know, I was there when he would wake up with pain and, you know, had to sleep through the pain. And just seeing him, you know, that before and after, you know, and how, you know, he can walk, you know, and I just saw him the other day. He's not even limping. He's been off his medications for a long time.
Right.
And it's just unheard of that a person with his illness would be, you know, walking and thriving, like you said. So I'm very happy about that. I'm very happy about the results.
Can you stay with us through the break, Karen? Can
mm-hmm.
you stay on the phone
yes.
with us? Okay. I want to take our last commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. We're talking today with Kevin and Karen Johnson. We're talking about Kevin's journey. He defied the medical orthodoxy. He is not taking medications for the disease that he is claimed to have. He realized the link between what he was eating and his illness, but most importantly, he had the courage to take the steps to wean himself off the medication, to focus on his nutrition and exercise. And now, in my opinion, he's not showing any symptoms of the disease. So I'd like to say he's disease free. It may be lurking there if he starts to eat that stuff again, but for now it's dormant. So this can be your journey too if you're facing this type of an issue. And I hope that you get something from Kevin's story today. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. gear. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. Orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You can get the book Change Your Life Now at superhumanradio.com at an additional 15% discount. This is a great book, especially for people who are just starting their journey into physical culture and nutrition. It's a great primer. If you have someone in your family that you're trying to enlist, you realize that they could be healthier, live longer, be happier. And you're trying to find an easy-to-read book that they can consume in a day or two and start applying the techniques immediately. Change Your Life Now is that book. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Change Your Life Now banner ad. My guest today, Kevin Johnson, Karen Johnson. We're talking about Kevin's personal journey. Some of you may be listening to this show and thinking, you know, it really has nothing to do with you because you have not faced adversity. I know what it is to be diagnosed with a disease that you're being told is going to consume you eventually. And I also know what it's like to have your doctor say things to you that are negative to the decisions that you're making to try to scare you back into line, and they want you to do what they want you to do. And I also know what it's like about family members to, well-meaning as they may be, unintentional as it may be, create obstacles for you to save your own life. And it's a difficult decision. It's alienating, but you make the decision, you change your life, and lo and behold, people look at you and you become like you, Kevin. You're telling me about telling people about this. Now you become a disciple. Once you have this epiphany and you realize that the answer to disease, the causes as well as the cures are the foods you put in your mouth, and then you do it for yourself. You become a shining beacon for people around you that I've got this problem and you did that. Maybe I can do that too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that you have your share of people who have watched you take this journey in your family and realize now that you were right all along and they see the result. They've got to be amazed.
Yeah. People who, especially my, immediate family or whatnot, when I tell them that I no longer have to be dependent on medicine. It's just they're really a lot of them blown away by it. You know what I mean? They don't understand the connection when I tell them about the food, because I think, it's something I've researched so much and it's so deep that they don't really put that connection together. But, just looking at me, they are, visibly completely astonished. They're just completely blown away.
So now, when do you go to the doctor again? Do you go to the doctor regularly now, or you feel like I'm done with doctors?
Well, I still go to the doctor every now and again. What I'm really looking into now is the stem cell thing.
Yes.
you know, to really see what that might be. So I've been kind of, you know, having plans to talk to the doctor I have about that, because I think it's still good to have, you know, a doctor there, because you need some sort of connection to if something happens.
Tests. Yeah, because doctors provide a very important service. They can run tests on you. They can help zero in on issues. They may be a little misguided in the treatment plans, but at mm-hmm. least they can tell you what the treatment plans are, so you can kind of look at them and go, that doesn't make sense to me. Well, that does, you know, and you can
right,
kind of
and kind of formulate your own thing.
Right.
They do know something, but a lot of them, they haven't been taught the preventative medicine. They're taught that this person is dying, give them this medicine.
Right, right. Absolutely. Now, Karen, you've pretty much gotten on this whole nutritional exercise bandwagon again, right?
Right. It hasn't really been until the past couple months, like I said, because of his liver enzymes being elevated. He had to stop taking medication about 6 months ago, and it was not until then that I realized how big of a difference it made to not have to have 100% complete control over his diet. And
right.
That's when I started hearing about, you know, CoQ10 for my depression and fish oil and, you know, all the good things. And it was not until recently. So my journey has really not been as long as his.
Right.
I've had to definitely just been supportive, even though I didn't understand it. I had to be supportive for a while, but it was not until recently that I had to learn for myself and do the research and listen to your shows that I've been really able to understand, you know, his illness and be able to understand, you know, what our food is doing to us.
Did you hear the show that we did with Dr. Michael Smith the other day where he mentioned about brain chemistry and saturated fats in the combination with refined sugars?
Yeah, we heard that one. We sat there and listened. We listened each day to the live episodes.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, each and every day we listen to them, and we have a bunch of the old episodes that we listen to over and over again, really.
Now, I know the reason you wrote me the letter, Karen, was because you said that you guys learned a lot from the show, but I happen to, you know, I feel fortunate that you've chosen to listen to the show, but I know that Kevin was destined to find his answers, whether he found them on my show or some other source. But since you've been listening to the show, do you have family members that listen to the show now?
My family is actually out of the country, and, you know, it's mostly his family that's here.
Right.
But, you know, I had been really trying for him to be able to tell his story and let his family, you know, hear it and our friends so that they could see it a little bit differently, because every single time we go out to eat and we can't eat this and we can't eat that, it starts an entire conversation and a long conversation that they won't understand. And then, you know, they end up feeling annoyed at the end of the day. So, you know, I really wanted our friends and, you know, our family to listen to the show. But, you know, so far it's only been us listening.
Okay. Okay. And then,
yeah, we're like you. We're trying to bring it up anymore, because at first it's like you want to tell everyone, you want to get a bullhorn and tell everybody, but they're not ready for it yet.
Isn't that amazing? It's almost like when it you know, what is that? A prophet is hated in his own home or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It's like as soon as you start talking about this stuff, you threaten the underpinnings of decades of beliefs, and then because people have to admit, if someone has diabetes, which I mean, spit in any direction, you'll spit on somebody who has diabetes in the United States.
My dad has it.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. If you know what always amazes me. I'm actually getting ready to start doing some talks at local gyms about ridding yourself of diabetes in 6 months. I thought it was going to be an overwhelming, like, everybody's going to want to hear this. Mm-hmm. I started talking to individuals who have diabetes. I said, look, you can be totally off medication and totally past the insulin resistant stage in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they would have been like, show me how. I'm ready to do it. They looked at me like, why? What's the difference? I take my metformin and I can eat anything I want.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
They want the easy way out.
But what they don't realize is that they are continuing to damage their body. Mm-hmm. They're continuing to damage their body. And you know, the illusion that the pharmaceutical drugs cure us is so off base. The analogy that I like to give people is if you had a car and the engine made a really bad banging noise, you like this this ominous, like, oh man, if I don't get this to a mechanic, this car is going to break down. You pull into the mechanic and you tell him what's going on. He looks at the car. He listens to the car. He goes, I got the answer. He sells you a set of earplugs. He says, whenever you drive this car, just wear these earplugs. You won't hear the banging. So technically it doesn't exist anymore.
Or just turn the music up as loud as you can in your car. That way, the banging will come from the bass and the speaker instead of your car.
Now, if you tell that to somebody, that analogy, and then you ask them and you say, now, would you pay that mechanic and drive off happy knowing that everything is fixed? And they all go, of course not. I mean, I'm going to get a block away and the engine's going to blow up and I'm going to, it's the problem. Exactly. And that's what's going on with your body right now. It's going to blow up anyway. It's going to break anyway.
They'll put that analogy together with the car, like in a heartbeat. They'll put that together. But as soon as you go back to this is how your body goes, it literally is like, I mean, they get visibly angry.
Yes.
They really do. And so I had to learn that lesson the very, very hard way in the beginning. I mean, I really had to. I mean, Karen can tell you that. I mean, I was always going around like, you shouldn't eat that, and that's not good, and this and that. And it sparked, I mean, a whole bunch of conversations to the point now where it's just like I really kind of keep it to just those who I know, appreciate it, who appreciate the fact that, I don't just throw anything in my body because, I mean, it's amazing how people just throw anything in their mouths and don't take their body seriously at all. And it's like without your body, you don't exist. There's no you.
And there's no replacement parts. You can change an alternator in a car, but to this date here, it's not that easy to change organs and stay alive.
Right.
Okay, listen, we're coming to the end of the interview. What would you say to somebody who stumbled onto this show, maybe in a podcast, and they're struggling with the disease, they feel like they got no way out, but they just know that there's an answer out there? What would you say to them, Kevin?
I would tell them to try to find as many episodes as the website will allow them to download.
Oh, you think the answers are here on Superhuman Radio?
And
I don't know, man.
I mean, because there's, in my opinion, there's so many, variety of topics that are talked about that in conjunction with doing their own research about what symptoms they have, about things and really researching and realizing that, the biggest culprit and is the fact that our diets are just so heavy on this ultra processed foods and things that they need to figure out, what that is and really see that they have one body and, they just gotta do as much as they can to clean up their diet and eat healthy and avoid.
And trust that it will have an effect.
Yeah.
Trust that it will have an effect. You know what? The initial changes to your diet may not have the profound effect that you want it to, but stick to it. Keep working on it like it's a science project and you will find the answers.
Keep searching. As long as they keep searching, they'll eventually find them.
Right. Hey, listen, I want to thank Kevin and Karen Johnson for coming on the show and sharing your story today. And I want to thank you for listening to the show also.
Thanks a lot, Carl.
Okay. Thank you. And we will see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio. So tune in then.